Good morning, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we often remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it wants and all it asks is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. So I want to just remind you that today, in case you're looking at your phone and wondering, and you're standing outside of the Garden Hills Center, that we are online now through the summer, except the first Sundays of every month, when we'll be having a celebration in person and in place at the Recreation Center in Garden Hills. However, for all of the other Sundays, you can sit in the comfort of your living room and have this wonderful time with us while you're drinking your coffee or doing whatever you do on Sunday mornings. Thank you for being with us today. However, we are exploring this idea of light. That is our theme for this month. You know, we are beings of light. And another word for light is spirit. Another idea of this light within all of us is this idea of spirit within all of us, life within all of us. And what we know and what we say, as we just said at the beginning today, is that you are the divine showing up as light, as life. In all of those descriptives, you're it. Yeah. Which means you get to create the life you desire, which also means that we celebrate you, whoever you are. We believe in this ideas of oneness and one mind, but we believe in you more so. We believe in your freedom. We believe in your ability to create the life you desire. And we are here to support you, to offer any kind of support we can. We teach classes around it. We teach spiritual practices that can assist you. We have practitioners who will assist you in finding your particular hang-ups or things that you need to blocks that you need to release as you allow the natural flow of life to move through you. So whoever you are, whatever your background, wherever you come from, whatever your understanding of yourself, whatever pronouns you use, whatever your understanding of your physical self in this world at this time, we celebrate you, we welcome you, and we're just so glad you're here. So I invite you to sit back and enjoy the next few minutes as we explore this idea of light. You know, one of the things that we do is that we do have a declaration of principles. It's not so much a dogma as it is a direction, an idea of that toward which we aspire. So hear it now as we play it and see if any of it matches up for you. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Those were just a few. That's a small excerpt of our Declaration of Principles, first written by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, just before he was about to do a radio show. The radio personality asked him, so I'm going to ask you when you come on the air, what's your belief systems? What do you guys teach? And he sat down and wrote out the Declaration of Principles on a piece of paper, which has basically remained much the same, because, you know, sometimes when you're inspired and those moments come and you just, everything falls into place. And that's a beautiful thing. Today, we have a practitioner with us who's going to be sharing with you some ideas and will guide us all in a spiritual mind treatment, which in our language is an affirmative prayer in most people's. So, Lee, coming to us live from LA airport area, welcome. and take it away.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, everybody. Most of you know, as Bob said, that I'm a practitioner. And as of last week, I'm back on the board. And it's an honor to serve in both these ways at Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Some of you also know that I'm a entrepreneur and a business advisor, business coach, that I coach business leaders all over the world. And that's what I'm here in LA for. I am constantly developing myself and taking classes through CSL, taking classes through business work like this. It's about constantly growing, constantly honing my skills, constantly learning new things. And I know that's something that attracts people to CSL Midtown. So this weekend, I'm attending this workshop in LA on hypnosis. And how do you help people? How do I help people eliminate their limiting beliefs? And limiting beliefs hold us back. They're in our subconscious mind. And our subconscious mind controls over 99% of our actions, from breathing. How is it that we breathe? Do you really think about that? To when we go to the bathroom, from keeping our hearts beating to determining who we attract and what we attract into our lives, and also what we repel. So the subconscious mind is very important. Most people think the conscious mind is what controls what happens to us. And actually, the conscious mind is what limits what goes into the subconscious mind. So through spiritual mind treatments and through other meditation and through hypnosis, we can actually get people through that barrier into the subconscious mind, where our programs are that run our days and run every thought that we have. As a practitioner, I lead the people I work with through spiritual mind treatments, which, as Bob said, are affirmative prayers. They get our consciousness and subconscious mind aligned with that of God and the universe. In the workshop yesterday, I realized that hypnosis and spiritual mind treatments are similar. Neither of these can be done to you. They need to have your explicit permission, and then they can be done with you and for you and by you. So that's why we talk about saying a spiritual mind treatment in a first person. Spiritual mind treatments are not hypnosis. Don't want to get anybody thinking that. But both can be used to help align our innermost thoughts and the path of our lives in the direction that we want it to be. Our center's website, you'll find the names, as Bob mentioned, of all of our amazing practitioners. They've been trained and licensed by the Centers for Spiritual Living to help you and to give spiritual mind treatments. And we love doing it. So please look there. Anything that you desire, anything that you need, come to us. We'll be there to serve you. Now, I'd like to lead us through a spiritual mind treatment. It's a affirmative, positive prayer. As I speak the truth about our lives, I will speak in the first person. As you hear it, if it feels right to you, speak the same words in your own mind. You can even speak them out loud if you want. We don't do that when we're all together. If something does not feel right to you at all, or replace it with your own words that feel more comfortable to you. It's that simple. Ready? Let's sit up straight, get relaxed a little bit, get comfortable, and take a deep breath with me. Breathe in and breathe out. Let's do that again. Breathe in, breathe out. Relax. Close your eyes if you desire. Know this truth about your life with me, if you will. I know that there is one God, one creator, who is called by many names. I choose the name Source because I see the creator as a source of all things. Source created everything out of love and a desire to express love. Everything there is was created by Source. I know that all thought is creative. I know that I am one with Source because I was created out of Source. That oneness binds us together and binds all together. Therefore, my thought is creative. My thoughts create my life, what goes on around me. The power of Source creates with me and through me. I also know that Source sees only perfection. Therefore, I see the truth as Source sees it. I see only perfection in my life. In every aspect of my life, I see perfection. In my health, in my relationships, in my finances, in my family, my friends, and so much more, there is only perfection. That is how Source sees it, and that is how I see it. In everything I know, that is what Source has created with me. I receive this truth. I know that nothing can keep me from the perfection in my life because I see it, I say it, and it manifests for me. My thought is creative, and I remind myself daily to think only in the ways that I want to create. So I focus on the positive. I focus on what I know. I focused on what I want to create. The perfection is mine in my health, my finances, my relationships, my family, and more. In this, my life gets better every moment of every day. All that I desire and deserve becomes mine through Source. I know that this is true, and I open my heart and my mind to receive it as Source, as God provides. This is what I know. This is what I receive. So together we say, and so it is. We are blessed to have lots of great music that we can use through the system. And this is Karen Drucker's Let It Shine.
I'm gonna be the first on the dance floor, the first to raise my hand, the first to state my opinion, the first to take a stand. I won't play it safe and wait for a sign. I'm gonna throw myself out there and let my light shine. Let it shine, let it shine. I'll let my big, bright, brilliant beam of radiant light shine. Ow! I'll be on Oprah and Conan, 60 Minutes and The View. They'll all be talking about me. I do. I'll be the one who sets the bar, the one who's in the know. Vogue will come to me to see where fashion trends will go. 'Cause I shine, yes I shine. I let my big, bright, brilliant beam of radiant light shine. For too many years I hid my light, fearing I was too much and who I was just wasn't right. Then I heard this voice from within and up above saying, you're here to be a shining light and give and receive love. So I'm going for my dreams, nothing's in my way. Carpe diem is my mantra, I practice kindness every day. I take time to connect, I take time to have fun. I wanna know I've used up every drop before my life is done. So I shine, yes I shine. A big, bright, brilliant beam of radiant light shine. I was just wasn't right. Then I heard this voice from within and up above saying, you're here to be a shining light and give and receive love.
Give and receive love.
I am a woman of power, a woman of grace. The life that I've lived is in every wrinkle on thy face. And I love myself so I can love you too. And I know when we're connected, there ain't nothing we can't do. So let's shine. Let's all shine. Let's let our big, bright, brilliant beam of radiant light shine. I see you shine.
Shine.
Yes, you shine.
Radiant light shine,
watch me shine. Oh, I shine.
I let my big, bright, brilliant beam of radiant light shine. Shine,
yeah,
let's
yeah.
All shine.
Let's let our big, bright, brilliant beam of radiant light shine.
Love that song and love that version and that video. So I thought for Mother's Day, it's a great choice, a great opportunity to enjoy the jump, to enjoy the enthusiasm of Let It Shine, and to enjoy the beautiful women who were shown throughout that video, because this is Mother's Day. And while every woman isn't a biological mother, every woman is a mother. And produces something new and some new ideas and some new creative expressions. And they may come out in all kinds of ways other than physical kids out of their bodies, but they are still carrying that mother energy and that mother power and that mother beauty. I love that song too, because that's Karen Drucker's answer to the song, This Little Light of Mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Every kid that's been in any kind of Sunday school or training program in that I know of in the country has been through or has learned that song. You may not have even learned it in church. You may have learned it in school. Or you may have learned it from your friends. But we've all sung it, possibly. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And you get all excited singing it. But I always wanted to change those words and say, this great big fat gorgeous light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And that's what she did in that song. And I think it's fabulous and wonderful, and because it speaks the truth. Our lights are not small. The light that we are, the goodness that we bring, the thought that we bring, the power that we bring to the world through our lives is not small. It touches so many people that we're not even aware of. A simple kindness or smile in the grocery store line, letting someone go first in traffic. All those things that we do that are out of kindness and out of a sense of appreciation for who we are and who our neighbors are and who those around us are. All of those are gentle, powerful ways that our great big light shines. There are bigger ways that it shines and ways that may have more appearance in the world in terms of responses from people and people showing up and all of that, but who knows, who can measure where the real power and the real goodness and real gratitude is. I'm reading a lot lately from quantum physics and other similar sciences, and I found some really interesting things lately. I may have shared this a few weeks ago, but I'll share it again. Some new research is showing us that all of this we see around us, this love, this light, this nature, the planet we're on, the moon we look at. I don't know about you, but I was taught all of that is about reflected light. The sun provides the light, and we see the moon, and we see the reflection of the sun. We see the people around us, and we see the reflection of sunlight off of them. And with our bare naked eyes and the range of seeing that is there in terms of the vibrations that we can pick up with our eyes, that's mostly true, but not completely true. See, it's really a fascinating thing. When the sunlight shines onto the moon, there isn't just the reflection. When the sunlight hits the moon, it causes a reaction on the moon that causes the moon to produce a light as well. The light is already inherent in its structure, in its very molecular beingness. And so light hits it, it activates the light within it, and it comes back to us here on Earth. A lot of what we see is the reflected light, but there's also the moonlight, the true moonlight that's coming from the moon. Same thing happens with people. You see someone standing in the sunlight and you think, oh, look, there's somebody. I can recognize them. I see their physicality. I know they're there. I trust that they're there. Even though the science tells me we're mostly empty space. I don't know. I don't know about you, but some days I'm more empty space than not. But we all have those days. But the fact is, while our bodies are feel physical, look physical, and light is reflected from them, they are mostly empty space. And you know, there's a fascinating thing. There are bioprotons, biolight sources that are activated by sunlight so that your physical body itself is producing light and shining it outward. It is who and what you are. It isn't just a reflection of something else outside of you. There is within each of us this active, energetic, heat-producing, light-producing source. We are like a furnace of all kinds of creativity going on within us, not only in our thoughts, but in our physicality as well. And I bring that up because in a teaching of oneness, it's really important to recognize that that oneness goes both ways. It isn't just a mental construct that we are one. And therefore, and then we run around in our physical world saying, well, maybe not so much, because we don't look like we're one. We look like we're over here separated. And yet each of us is producing light that the other picks up, not with our eyes, but with the other sensors that pick up the more subtle vibrations of light. And that communicates. The light we produce communicates within every cell in our body with all those millions of organisms that live here that are part of who we are, that walk around with us wherever we go, that digest our food and take care of so many things in our health. And so that light is the communicating, connecting thing. And you can't turn it off. Nothing can turn it off as long as you're in your physical body. And then when you leave your physical body, you're headed off into a whole other sphere of light that we only can surmise and guess and have hints of. And I just find that fascinating and exciting that it isn't just about being a reflection of something out there. Instead, I am a generator from within of light, of goodness, of all of those things we associate with light. It's so, I mean, what I love about all of this is finding these connections between what the scientists are now saying and what the ancient mystics said. Jesus said it. He said it, but he was quoting a much more ancient tradition of wisdom. You know, the wisdom traditions go back thousands of years. I mean, more than just two, more back into the ancients. And it is pretty clear that Jesus was a voice of that wisdom teaching, of those wisdom teachings. There wasn't just one. And he said this. He said, "You are the light of the world." Not your reflection of the God's light of the world. Doesn't say you're going to be the light of the world after you get your act together and figure everything out and know what you're doing. I always think of my mother's little plaque that sat by her chair the last years of her life. I finally got it all together and forgot where I put it. You know, it's not waiting for us. Us being the light isn't waiting for some time in the future when we'll figure it all out, or we'll stop sinning, for those who believe in that, or we'll get our mental, emotional, all of these things in line and everything is working beautifully for us. No, you are already in the midst of all of your messiness, if you have messiness in your life, in the midst of your life as it is right now, you are the light of the world. What does that mean? Why does that matter that we're even talking about this, you know? Well, it matters because I hope you can find some encouragement in this thought, in this idea, when you're in dark times. And, you know, we all have them. We all get hit with stuff that seems like a shadow, that doesn't seem like anything like light, that we don't even know how to assign light or assign it to light, where we feel lost, alone, depressed, where there seems to be no joy left. That can be triggered by a sudden event, or it can be triggered by a series of our self-understandings that just grow and grow and grow into some large idea that life is lost or useless or not here. But the fact is, your body knows that you're producing light every moment. And therefore, your mind can also attach to that idea of light, of goodness, of kindness, of all of those things we associate with the idea of light. It is present in you regardless of how despairing you may feel, regardless of how lost and alone and how much grief you may be going through. You know, our whole world is grieving. We've been through so much shock and change in the last 4 or 5 years. In this country politically, in other countries politically, actually, not just here. We've been through the whole COVID shutdown and all of the turmoil that created. And then now the struggles to find our way back, and or not back, but forward into a new way of being with each other that incorporates and includes this amazing online world that we created, that we had all the tools right ready to go so we could do it and go forward with it. But those are traumatic. They're stressful. Remember that list of stresses that people go through? There's stresses that are wonderful and stresses that are not so wonderful. The loss of a home or simply moving to the home of your dreams. Both of those are high on the stress scale. And in the midst of that stress, in the midst of that struggle and difficulty and reassignment and reassessment and redirection of our lives, our sadness, our loss, our anger, all of the things that roll up into grief, the light that you are never goes dim. It never stops. It is always there waiting your recognition of it by tapping into it in that inner world, that inner truth, that inner consciousness. Another reason for talking about this light as being present and always expressing is that sometimes we don't know what to do next. I don't know about you, but as I've gotten older and the things that used to make so much sense to me don't make so much sense to me now, and I think about, you know, man, I'd love to go hike to the top of the mountains and run up and down the trails in Peru like I used to do. Like I've done in the past and in this country and all around. I love hiking mountains. Well, my feet don't agree with that anymore. And I can still do it, but in a much more limited way. I'm much better at thinking about it and dreaming about it than I am actually getting out there and doing it. It becomes harder. But that doesn't mean my light is dimmed, or the joy of being in nature has been reduced. It just means I have to find a different way to do it. See, that whole thing about what to do next and how to do it, where do I go, how do I decide? This light within us never dims and never stops shining. Therefore, when we feel an urge in one direction, and we say yes to it. That light is shining through us and it's saying yes. You know, when we do treatment, one of the things we know and we say is that when we affirm something that we deeply believe and believe in, the universe always says yes. The infinite says yes. Spiritual law, for I mean, these are all words that work together, says yes. Yes to my desire. Yes to my belief. And it says yes and immediately goes about creating my life and changing me into the person who can receive those things. And that's true whether that yes is a yes to I am the light of the world. I have the freedom to live my choices. Or a yes to, oh my God, I can't do that anymore. Like I just spoke. Cancel that. See, we really do have the opportunity to change our lives and to move forward and to be a greater expression of the light that we are and the light that we're given. Light is often associated with awareness. Light is associated with knowledge. Light is associated with truth. So the light within you aligns you with that truth. I heard a thing yesterday. How do you know what's really you, what's really yours? You know, there was a time in my life as a much younger man whenever there was a whole lot of talk, and I participated in it, about being who you truly are, like you could be anybody else. Yeah, and you know all those slogans, be myself because everybody else is taken and blah, blah, blah. Those are all important. But in terms of being you and knowing your authentic self is right there present with you, present in the light as the light. Not when you're judging it, not when you're trying to decide, is this right or is that right or is this my authentic self or does that behavior match me or whatever. It is that part of you that is asking the question. It's that part of you that's listening and looking and deciding about the authenticity that you are. That's your true self. That's your authentic self. And it cannot be erased or covered over or gotten rid of. It's always there and present. And you look past the question. You look past the outcomes and decisions and struggles in either direction you take, all of that. Within you, you look past that within you to that place within that is the knower, that knows, that authentic self that you are, that no one else can be and no one else is. And yet that is infinitely connected with all of life, other people, other things, other ideas, fully and intimately connected. It is rich, it is beautiful. So even when the path may not seem clear, the direction that you take can never, ever be a mistake. It may be a learning opportunity to discover, oh, wait, this wasn't my direction. This wasn't for me to do. I've had a few of those. I signed up once when I was traveling and just kind of hanging out for months and months on the road to do a construction job because I needed the extra cash. And so I was the pickup guy at the construction site. And that all went very well until I tried to pick up a 300-pound door and carry it downstairs as my boss had instructed me to do. Well, the door and I ended up in a pile down at the bottom of the stairs, and the door won. So that wasn't a great choice. But what I learned was I need to work out and get ready to do those kinds of things before I just take it on and think I can just do anything physically if I haven't prepared my body and my mind for it. So these kind of things, you learn, and I didn't ever try to do that job again, nor have I since. So why? I don't know about you, that's those times, that looking for your path is a time when I often say I'm not lost, I'm exploring. You know, the not stopping for directions. And some of the most powerful things have happened in my life have happened when I've been exploring without a clue where I was on the planet, other than I'm somewhere between there and here in a state that I think I'm still in. I did that in the Four Corners region. I got lost exploring on a little road that was on the map one way, but turned out to be a tiny little track with two light lines that had nowhere to turn around and had gone way too far to back up. And as I drove that road, I kept thinking, am I in Arizona? Am I still in New Mexico? Have I crossed over into Denver, to Colorado? I don't know. I don't know, but I know this road is going somewhere and it will take me there. And I kept trusting and driving and hoping I wouldn't run out of gas before I found something. And I found two beautiful, beautiful experiences on that road. The first one was I was driving with nowhere to pull over. A white horse ran down the road toward me. I had seen it in a vision of why I was doing this trip. And there he was, a physical horse out in the middle of nowhere. Later, I found out I was on the Crow Reservation, Crow Indian Reservation, and they had whole herds of wild horses there. My other experience was turning a corner and suddenly coming upon a cloverleaf interstate exchange. And I went, what? This little two-track road led to that. I went around and up and through the cloverleaf and then went right back on the little two-track road, and every road leading to it was the same. I'm like, what? This is crazy. Am I lost? No, I'm exploring. Well, it turned out, I found out when I stopped at the trading post down the road, that this was built by the tribe there. Monies had been allocated by the government to that tribe to build an interstate interchange, even though there wasn't an interstate road anywhere close to them. So they could either forfeit the money, which was definitely needed for people's survival, or they could build an interchange. So they built an interchange, and they used it for parties. They used it for ceremony. And they used it for all kinds of things. I learned some things about government that day. So these kind of wanderings can be beautiful and wonderful because the light within us is always there and it's always shining, and we make connections. I had wonderful connections with him, with the guy at the trading post. So that's why it matters. It matters to be aware of this light because it will guide you, perhaps in a more direct way than for me at times, to those things which are so important and matter the most in your life. That great teacher I mentioned earlier said at one point that there's a spark within us that can never be entirely extinguished. The prayer of faith and belief and communion of the soul with its source fans out and sparks into a divine blaze, in whose light shadows no longer lurk. The commentary is that this is inspiration. This is illumination. This is the perception of wholeness. You couldn't be anything else but whole, biologically or otherwise. You may feel like you're cracked apart. You may have convinced yourself of that, and you may have been through childhood experiences where you had to do that to survive psychically. But the truth is, in spite of those things, you are still one whole being that's a full and rich and complete expression of the divine. So here we are at Mother's Day, and I want to end today with a salute to a mother who, when she was a young woman in her 20s, we were married and living and working in Miami at a large church that had been left behind when the people moved away, and what was left were the Cuban population that had moved in. And my beloved wife, mother of my daughter, whose memory and whose transition we celebrated yesterday at a memorial service. She decided that while I was doing the things in the church where I was supposed to be trying to create some programs and get some things going to help the church reach out to the community, she met some people on the street, asked for directions, asked for help because everything around us was in Spanish. We didn't speak Spanish. And she met one or two of these women out on the street. And she got to know them, and then she met one or two more, and then one or two more. And pretty soon there was a group of about 8 to 10, and they started getting together at our house for Bible study. We were in that tradition at that time. And she just saw them as young women who were in need of love, who were in need of connection, who were in need of knowing that they are loved and are whole and complete, whatever they were, whoever they were. So she brought them to church one Sunday. Walked in, she and the 8 or 10 women, all dressed for business. Dressed for business on Saturday night because their business was working the streets on Saturday night. And they came in and sat down in the middle of this big congregation and big auditorium, and people just spread out. They spread out, and pretty soon around them there was a great big open space because everyone else recognized who these women were, whether she did or not. That was a mother of love, a mother of compassion, and a mother who did not see differences anywhere. She looked past racial. She looked past ethnicity. She looked past all of that and saw the light and beauty and power within each one of them. She carried that forward the rest of her life. She spent her entire life working with populations considered fringe, considered set aside and forgotten. She worked in neonatal nursing, and she worked in diabetic training for nurses, for mothers, for young mothers. She spent her whole life doing that. And towards the end of her life, she went back to school and became a nurse practitioner, not just an RN. And that mother, to me, is an example for mothers everywhere. And it is an example of mothers everywhere because she fully recognized who she was, what she was here to do, and she saw everyone else as an expression and extension of her. She never met a stranger. She would know your life history in the first 5 minutes of a conversation. She never talked about herself, only about the other person. And so when we gave her the big send-off yesterday, there was an auditorium full of folks. And her daughter, my daughter, sitting on the front row, and the aunts and all of the others who were there, all we could do was celebrate a life well lived. So whether you're celebrating with your mother today or whether you're celebrating your mother no longer being with you today, know that with me, that the love and the light that they each are is not extinguished because their bodies stop working and because they leave the planet and our visual limited range of visual sight. Their light is much beyond that range. They are open to be seen and known. So I'll leave you with my favorite quote, and it is this: when you come to the end of the light you have known, and you step out into the darkness, know that your feet will find solid ground or you will fly. Thank you. So it is. And now we'll hear from Vance.
Can I unmute myself? Thank you, Dr. Bob, for that wonderful talk this morning. And welcome to this time where we give thanks and share in our abundance. And we have the opportunity to give and share. And as you can see on the screen in a second, you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate or click on the QR code as it comes up and say with me our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And so you can set up one-time donation and ongoing donation, whatever works for you. We appreciate all of your contributions to help this ministry continue to move forward and grow and prosper. Thank you. And I'll turn it back to Dr. Bob for some announcements.
Okay, so we have some announcements, and that is that for the next two Sundays, we will continue to be online only. So don't go back to the other spot, or you'll be there by yourself, or maybe you'll meet some friends and go for coffee. But we will be online for our Sunday celebrations. Our speaker for the next 2 weeks will be Cynthia Paulson, Reverend Cynthia Paulson. She is a member of our center and a participant. She's also a kind of an adjunct to our practitioner list, practitioner program. And she'll be speaking to you, continuing on this theme of light. I think next week is communication, and the following week is the I am. I may have that reversed, but she will be here, and she will be sharing the good news with you. I will be introducing her and some others. So on that first Sunday of June, please be back and be present at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown at the Recreation Center in Garden Hills. You can find it on our website. And we will be there. We will be celebrating. We'll have food. Food always helps. So bring potluck. Bring something to share. We'll have something there. And and we will be having, we will be talking about some of the current events that we've all been living through and looking at how do we manage all of that? How do we think about it? We may and perhaps have some difficult conversations around some of the issues. However, we want to have the celebration of joy of being together, and then we'll do some workshopping after that with some of these different areas and situations. So saying that, I'm hoping you will plan to be with us, to join us, to be there to meet your friends and see your friends all over again. Watch the emails and watch the newsletter and the website. There will be some additional classes and a book study coming out very soon. And so I look forward to that and look forward to seeing you in one or another of those places. So as we close, as we always do, know this with me, that I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. We'll see you next week.